Good morning. Welcome to Lakeview. Glad you're here this morning to be a part of our worshiping fellowship. Especially if you're visiting with us, we're glad you're here. We look forward to serving God alongside of you. Let us know if we can serve you in any way. Let me remind you of a couple of announcements. Don't forget later on today, tonight at 5 o'clock for church members, if you want to participate in the church-wide vote that we've been talking about the last few weeks, please be here tonight on time. As you can read in the enclosed pamphlet about it tonight, it's important to be here on time. Later on this week, we'll be having our usual Wednesday night gathering at Soul Food Cafe, small groups to follow after that. So make plans to join us. I think the meal this week is spaghetti, so that will be good. Any other announcements that you'd like to make for the common good? Yes. Thanks for the reminder. Baby shower today from 1 to 3. All right, let me lead us in a prayer. Then the worship team will come and lead us in worship. Heavenly Father, we invite your Holy Spirit to come and be with us as we open our hearts and minds to your Holy Spirit. Speak to us, inspire us, challenge us to be your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we move into our prayer time, you may have prayer concerns you'd like to mention. Feel free to call out those names or situations. Of course, we pray for our church. What other prayer concerns? Emily, Norwood. Say it again. Okay. I'm a little bit hard of hearing, so I hate to admit that. So, anybody else? Anything else? Thank you. All right, let's join together in prayer. This morning I'm going to lead us in a guided prayer. I'm going to suggest a word and ask you in your own heart to God to respond to these words. Sort of an outline as we move from prayer through prayer. Let us begin with the confession of sin. This is where we acknowledged. Let me back up before that. Let's begin with the adoration of God. This is where we focus on God, we give him praise and thanks for all he's done. Let's take just a few moments and do that. Let's move to the confession of sin. When we see God and his awesomeness, we see ourselves and how far we fall short. So if you haven't already, since you got up this morning, take just a few moments, letting the Holy Spirit remind you where you've fallen short. Part of confession of sin is to accept God's forgiveness so freely offered. Thank you, Father. Next, thanksgiving. This is where we look at our life. We look at blessings, large and small, and we give God thanks for them. Next, intercession. This is where we pray for the world in which we live, the people in our lives and in our world, situations, challenges, problems, where we intercede and lift up prayers, people for them. We pray for all those that were mentioned this morning as well, and for our church. Finally, we offer up prayers of personal petition. In the model prayer he taught us, Jesus said to pray for our daily bread. This is where we pray for things in our own life, things for us, things that we're struggling with, where we ask God for help. As we bring this prayer time to a close, I'm going to ask you to join me in the prayer that Jesus taught that we call the Lord's Prayer. It'll be flashing up on the screen if you need the help. Let us all pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to continue our worship by receiving our morning offering. Thank you for your generous giving that allows our church to be in mission and ministry in this community and in the world. Who doesn't love a good fish story? That's what the scripture this morning is about in Luke chapter 5. If you want to open your Bibles to Luke 5 or follow along on the screen, Luke 5, chapter 1 through 11. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen, who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out to shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all day long." Actually, he said, "We've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down my nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." for he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." And so they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Everybody, I'm sure, has a favorite fish story. They are numerous. There's the one about the guy one day that had been fishing all day long by himself and caught these two large buckets to the car till he drove up. Got to a license to catch these fish. The guy said, "Well, yes, sir. Every night I take these fish down to the lake and I let them swim around for a while back into the buckets, and I take them home." The game warden said, "Fish can do that." The man looked at the game and be happy to show you. It really works. The game warden said, "I've got to see this." And so the guy walked in the lake and he stood there and waited. After the man and said, "Well?" The man said, "When are you going to call them back?" The game warden said, "Call who back?" Some said that the only thing was they were reported in chapter 5, 13 miles wide. Today, the area around the Sea of Galilee, Jesus' day, there were about 9 feet of all the size of earth that dotted around the lake. This particular down by the shore that belonged to Simon. Simon, a huge crowd had gathered. Jesus' reputation was growing by this ask. If you use Simon as sort of a floating platform to address. Verse 4 tells us that Jesus' action, he said to Simon, "Come on, let's go fishing. Push out into deep." Did it once they launched. When they hauled the floppy additional boat alongside to hold all of the fish, it was an obvious. Simon fell to his knees. Reveals sinfulness. If a sinner have you around, your feet, Simon. I've got my to catch it. So, you make a story. Higher fish, higher risk, higher reward. Anybody that's ever gone through disciple Bible study or been on the walk to a man, served away from home on a work mission, or done anything out of the orders, time, money, knows that it's when we leave the comfort of what we always do, launch out by faith, that we get the big word. It's when we begin to grow in prayer, when we make regular worship a part of our weekly lives somewhere, so that you don't have to have this conversation over and over and over again. Every church tomorrow, or will I not? No, that's already settled. You made that decision. You don't have to be influenced by rainy weather or a stuffy nose. If you can be there, because that's the commitment you made when you joined a church somewhere, that I will use my gifts and my service. I made that decision already. In sharing our faith, in serving, is when we launch out in our relationship with God. No matter where we are, God is always calling us further, deeper. There's a quote in his book, Mere Christianity, by C.S. Lewis. He invites us, he says, imagine yourself as a living God comes in to our lives. Just stay with us. Rebuild. Perhaps we understand what he's doing. He's adjusting the gutters here and so on. You knew that jobs needed doing and you're not surprised. Stops knocking the house about in such a way that it hurts. Not just he's putting out a new wing here, putting on an extra floor there. Power making court going to be made into a little decent cottage. No, he is a palace to come and live there. Chicago. Summer at one day, one counselor count into eternity. And he never forgot it. He went on to finish college, a church out of a youth group where he didn't hear, which become his answer. Girl, perfect. And then he came. The room held 24 people. I just did it myself with my dad's help. Points in our life. Churches. Their spouses. And of course, their spouses. And just looking at those three kids. He'll be standing in Jerusalem, fixing all those people that have gathered on the day of Pentecost. He was hardly qualified to pass. And gosh, you look over and over again, different circumstances, but the same story. I want you to leave your homeland and go to this land. Go to a place that you don't know a soul. Just believe that I'm going to go with you. A great nation that I will use to redeem the world. There's almost 3 years old when he has that burning bush experience on Mount Horeb. He had lived, he lived longer back then. He'd already lived two-thirds of his life. He died at 120. He was, and God comes to him and says, I've got a great job for you. You're going to lead my people from slavery. They're going to be so blessed. And Moses said, who am I that I should do this? I can't even see. But he was willing. And God qualified him after he called him. He learned on the job. And then there's David, the youngest of Jesse's children, to be the beloved king of Israel. Remember, Sandra Brothers, it was when he got to David. God has an annoying habit of choosing people qualified. The man that started Asbury College and Asbury Seminary, Henry Clay Morrison, that lived back in the 1800s, as a rural Kentucky, Christ as his Savior, and he felt like God had called him to preach. His uncle, who he was close to, was shocked and terribly disappointed because he was a preacher. He wanted him to be a lawyer. He said to him, Henry, you can't preach. Methodist preacher dragging a wife and children around the country at the point of starvation. But Tom, I feel like the Lord's called me to preach. And his brother said, well, hard up for material. But Henry stayed strong and went on preacher in those parts and later started two schools, one across the street from each other, used to provide Christian leaders for his church. Remember that when God calls us to do something, are on the way. There might not be a method if John Wesley had followed his own preferences rather than God. In his journal, John Wesley wrote on May 29th, 1738, he wrote, last night I went to a prayer meeting on Aldersgate Street. At that meeting that night, while someone was reading, not this, to the book of Romans, that Wesley would say, it's about being justified by faith, I felt my heart strangely warmed, and I felt that I did trust in Christ, and Christ alone for my assurance was given me, even me, that God had forgiven my sins. He went very unwillingly with God's direction. Always go with God. You'll never go wrong. Pushing us out of our comfort zones. Growth and excitement is rarely the easy, but rather out there. I just obey all things. It's to set on the shore and look at those out there in the deep water and tisk our way and give our own take on how they should do things. Like we're a better coach than Bruce Pearl, and because we didn't beat, we ought to think about getting a new coach. Or Alabama fans mad at Pete Golding and Bill O'Brien or stop as many points. You know, we always know better, right? Better. It is the easiest thing to sit in the stands out at those that are actually getting it done and think we know better. But when we offer ourselves to God, it is absolutely incredible what God can do through us. First of all, in us. Let me invite the worship team to come on up. They're going to lead us in our closing song. So glad today you've been here to be a part of our time together in worship. I hope you've been encouraged and challenged from the life of Jesus. We are in the days of Lent. Moving, we'll be here next Sunday. Journey, it's time to take risks. Seriously. Let's pray. May we apply it to our lives where we need to apply it. We open our journey. Amen. Let's stand together. These altars are always open for prayer, and then return to your seats. And after the choir, after the worship leads us. Now may the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance. Amen. Have a great day.